Welcome back to Mad Dog in the Morning on Lansing Sports Station. The game, 7:30 a.m. I am David the Mad Dog DeMarco. It's 8:33 Eastern Time. This man, I've followed his career, know all about him. And when I saw an opportunity to have him on the Mad Dog show here in Lansing, Michigan, I jumped at it. This book just came out. I remember when this man was a super agent, turned owner of the Houston Gamblers of the USFL. He, I guess you could say Dennis, turned agent, turned professional football owner. Dr. Jerry Argovitz is on the Mad Dog show. Good morning, Doc. How are you today?
Hey, David. I'm doing great. Good to be on the program.
Well, I want to ask you how you went from dentist to agent. How did that transition even start?
Well, that's a great question to start off with. I was a practicing dentist in Houston, Texas. I love sports. I played sports in college. I was a walk-on at the University of Texas. I was a high school athlete. And I retired from dentistry and was doing real estate deals, minding my own business. And I did something that had never been done before and obviously will never be done again. No one in sports ever heard of my name before. And in 1980, I wind up representing seven of the top players in the draft, including Billy Sims, obviously the number one draft pick for Detroit Lions. And I had four first-round players and three second-round players. And what happened was, David, this is all really detailed in the book, but just a brief scenario. I guess it was pretty much fate. I was in a cocktail party one night, and I heard a bunch of conversations around this gentleman who was talking about signing his company, Representative Earl Campbell. And someone asked me, this is when he signed with the Oilers, they said, well, what did you think about Earl Campbell's contract? And I said that if it's what I read it was in the newspaper, my grandmother could have done a better job, and she'd been dead for 10 years. And that kind of started a bunch of conversation, and this a gentleman by the name of Gene Burroughs, who became my partner, got in my face, and he says, you don't know a dadgum thing about football contracts. He said, this was the best contract ever signed to a rookie in the NFL. And I said, well, if it's what I read it was, you don't know a lot about present value of money. And from there, we got into a conversation and we wrote down seven names on a piece of paper. I wrote down 10 names on a piece of paper and signed seven of them.
And that's incredible. We're speaking to Dr. Jerry Argovitz. He was the majority owner of the Houston Gamblers and, like he said, super agent. Okay, now I'm going to ask you this. About 4 years ago, Billy Sims was in Lansing, and I did a, I guess you could say, meet and greet with him at a Menards. And it was great to see him. He looked great. And he's getting back. He got back on his feet. But how did he end up? I mean, I know that he had the knee problem. He ripped it up in the Metrodome. And really, I thought, If nature would have took its course between Lem Barney, Billy Sims, and Barry Sanders, there would have been three number 20s in the Football Hall of Fame, no matter how bad the Lions have been. But Billy, he had some financial difficulties where he had to turn in his Heisman Trophy, and I think that Barry Switzer got him out of that. What happened to Billy Sims financially? Do you know?
Yes, if you remember, and it's hard for me to talk about it. There's so much that's detailed in the book, specifics. But Billy, if you remember when we had our issues, and Billy sued me, and the Lions sued me, and Billy and I kind of broke off, and for 18 years we didn't speak. And what happened was, I think Billy trusted the wrong people. He was a very trusting guy, and he had done reasonably well in football as far as finances went, and he wanted to get into business, and he trusted the wrong people, and they took him down the tube.
So that's what happened. Now, because he was in a really great mood. It was good to see him because everybody knows how Billy Sims was. We're speaking with Dr. Jerry Argovitz. All right, I want to ask you about Jim McMahon. I love Jim McMahon, but I know that we saw him on the cover of Sports Illustrated a few months ago. He lives in Scottsdale. He's had very, very bad problems with concussions. When was the last time you saw or talked to Jim McMahon?
Well, Jim McMahon wrote the foreword for my book.
Right.
He was in Rancho Mirage, California. We have a vacation home there, and I invited Jim to come in last year to play in the Frank Sinatra tournament with me. And so he stayed with me for 3 days, and we were I kept up with all my players throughout the years, uh-huh. and Jim has had some problems with the concussions, as a lot of young men have.
Sure.
And that is one of the reasons, Dave, that I'm so so concerned about the way the NCAA is running their programs and the collegiate athletes, because these kids have no protection whatsoever. I mean, I'm concerned not just about their financial welfare and in my opinion, the corrupt NCAA and their ridiculous hypocrisies of athleticism and academics and amateurism, and how they deal with these young men. These kids have no one to advocate and protect them. And the NFL has their Players Association, and they only hit once a week after, you know, other than game day. But the college players may be hitting three or four times a day, and with these concussions, and with what's going on, these kids have no protection.
This book just came out this week to the audience. It's Super Agent, the one book the NFL and NCAA don't want you to read. It's by Dr. Jerry Argovitz. He's with us. Of course, Jerry, I'm 53, so I knew you. I'm looking at... I've known your name and known the people you've represented, and you know, and I actually did see not only the Panthers play, but when I was out in Arizona, I got an opportunity to see the Philadelphia Star and the Arizona Wranglers, and that was Chuck Fucina against Greg Landry. And that league, you know, it was funny because, I mean, the names that came out of that league, and then, you know, when it totally was done and dissipated, you know, the guys that went in there. I mean, you had Herschel Walker. You had Doug Flutie. You've had so many great. Anthony Carter was in that league.
Jim Kelly.
Jimmy Kelly was there. I mean, yeah.
You're quarterback.
Yeah, I mean.
Shoot offense.
Talk. Did you ever have any conversations?
Let me tell you an interesting story, Dave. You'll
right.
appreciate
yeah,
this.
Yeah, go ahead.
When I was putting the football team together, you know, I had so much. Russ Thomas made a comment, my old buddy, that if Argovitz is bad enough dealing with him as an agent, I can't imagine what he'd be like as an owner. That was one of the statements that Russ had made years ago. I saw it in one of the articles. But the Houston Gamblers was the only team, or the first team of professional football history as an expansion franchise to win their division. And I hired the Mouse Davis as the offensive coordinator before I ever hired the head coach. So I started off with, I told Jack Pardee, you'll never lose your job if we don't score enough points. But I tell you the truth, David, when I got into football, I used to think TD meant touchdown. But when I first got into it, I mean, I found it was a total disaster. Football, collegiate and professional, was corrupt. There was no one out there protecting the players. I mean, you had the NFL with a total and complete monopoly. You had the NCAA. It was a total monopoly. You had the the National Football League Players Association was inept. They gave away free agency and the Roselle Rule of Compensation in negotiations for a checkoff system. And you had the NCAA, who was totally, in my opinion, corrupt. And they were doing things... everybody was making jillions of dollars, especially today, tax-free money, and the players are still getting nothing. No one's looking out for the players. That was then, and the same thing is now. This has got to stop. It's over.
Doc, I want to ask you about one, and we have one more question, because I want to ask you, this book, I'm telling you people right now, Super Agent is outstanding. And this man put this book together, and he's got a lot of really big names that have said some wonderful things about it. Marcus Dupree, when he came in the league, Billy Sims came to his high school. It was already on ESPN. He was a great talent. He left Barry Switzer. Then he went to a smaller school, never played. Then he went to the USFL. What do you remember about Marcus Dupree?
Marcus Dupree was a man amongst the boys. Marcus Dupree could have played, but there's a few players in college history could have come after their freshman year in college, could have walked right into the pros and been a starter. And Marcus Dupree was one of those kids. And Barry Switzer is a close friend of mine, a good friend of mine, and he told me one time probably the biggest mistake he made in managing players, and I think Barry Switzer was probably one of the greatest recruiters in the country and a fantastic and a great coach. And he told me he thought he really mismanaged and mishandled Marcus Dupree, and if he had to do it over again, he would have done it a lot different.
Yeah, I can believe that. Well, this book's going to be in the finest bookstores in this country, Amazon.com.
But you know also, Dave, what happened was, do you remember who the first, you remember they had a rule, the NCAA had a rule, a sweetheart deal with the NFL. To me, I called it collusion. The NCAA told the NFL, we'll give you a free farm system if you don't draft the players for 4 years. You remember the first player, collegiate player, who signed a professional football contract before his class graduated?
Right offhand, no.
Herschel Walker
did. Yeah, then he came to the Generals, right?
And I was the one who did that. See, no one ever knew this. I mean, there's so many facts and information about sports in my life that, especially that fans never knew about. And Herschel Walker was the first player. I brokered that deal with the USFL, and when I met with the owners, they weren't even going to sign him. They were afraid of the NCAA, and the colleges wouldn't let him on campus. I said, well, if you want to know who the best players are, call me. I can tell you.
Yeah, you had a lot of them. I mean, that was the thing with the USFL over, you know, other startup leagues like what Vince McMahon and NBC did with the XFL and with the Canadian Football League and Arena Football League. The USFL had star power.
Well, you remember, too, when you talk about the... 1 year, you know, the NFL didn't like to deal with me. They really, anyone who stood up against them, and no one really did, except me, I didn't have any sense, so I just, I was really, Russ Thomas broke me in real good. About what goes on. A lot of people don't understand that once a team in the NFL drafts a player, they own that player. He had no rights to go anywhere else. The second year, after my first year as an agent, the second year, I took 2 first-round draft picks to Canada. That had never been done in the history of the NFL. So it stopped them being stonewalling me, and I fought the system. I mean, when I represented these young men, they knew when I first started representing these kids, they knew I had no background and no experience in football, but I had a lot of experience in business. And I fought the system. I thought the system was terrible. And the first thing I asked these kids when I represented them, what's the first thing you want to do when you get some money in your life? Every one of these kids told me, I want to buy a home, either for the grandmother, mother, or aunt. They were raised in a single family household, most of these kids, no father figure, and majority of all these kids came from poverty. I mean, all they wanted was something that was fair for them. And the passion that I had for standing up and fighting for them, and that's what it was. I just wasn't going to let them down. And I was fighting a total and complete monopoly.
And I'd be remiss, Doc, if I didn't ask you about Donald J. Trump, who was the owner of the New Jersey Generals. In a thumbnail sketch, your thoughts of Donald J. Trump in 2013.
Well, Donald Trump, to me, is an amazing guy. I've known Donald since he was 37 years old. And Donald had like a 28-second attention span. And if you couldn't get his attention the first 28 seconds, it's just like his eyes blinked or just kind of went down and it said next. So I learned with Donald, if I was going to make any points, I need to make them in a hurry. But I really feel that Donald, we had $160 million invested in our league. If they would have stayed in the spring 2 more years, like the plan was, and my suggestion, if he would listen to me and we'd stayed in the spring for 2 more years, and Donald would have put the emphasis on supporting the Spring League, we would have been alive and well today, and we would have had our own league, or we would have had a merger with the NFL. I believe that his move to the fall destroyed the league, no question about it.
What's in the book, Super Agent, the one book the NFL and the NCAA don't want you to read. It's by this gentleman right here, Dr. Jerry Argovitz. Dr. Jerry Argovitz, I appreciate you on the program. If we can have you on again, it'd be great, and I want you to have a great day.
David, thank you, and Happy New Year to you and all your fans.